So the question that I emailed you was a Shaila Tischeshuva brings down. He brings a Shaila from Rishmei Sha'ila. So he's talking about an Isha Shemachra Talisa Shabaila. A woman sold her husband's talus. I don't know if it has to mean his talus that he wears for shul. It could be his cloak. So I don't know when the sefer was written, so that's why I don't know what the talus is. It's probably a cloak. Because you'll see why. Bishlishav, she sold it for a third of its value. The ochala hoya baila leveso, while her husband was away. Her husband had gone away on a trip, a business trip. She needed the money for something because, you know, they didn't have credit cards or checks, and she needed cash to buy food. So she sold the talus. That's why it's probably not his talus that he wears for davening, because he probably took it with him. So she sold his cloak. His nats lotha shemachra machos docha. She said, why she sells it so cheap? Because she needed the money. And, you know, when you need the money, it's a fire sale. You have to sell things cheaper. Vachar kamas shonim. But by the way, so many years later, her husband came home. Travel wasn't so easy. So he came home many years later. And he wants to cancel the sale. He says, this is a onah. It's my clothes. My jacket was sold at a third of its value. And we know that onah, if it's less than a six, it's mechila. If it's exactly a six, you get that extra money back. If it's more than a six, it's a mekach batel. So over here, it was sold at a third of its value. So he went to the buyer, and he said to the buyer, this is a mekach tos, it's onah, and I should get my money back. So what's the halach? If you're under pressure to sell something, and right, under duress, and you have to make a fire sale, liquidation sale, is that a heter for the buyer to take it at a reduced price? Right, that's one issue. So the first thing we're going to do is talk about the Gemara, you probably know from Makkos, but it's the Gemara B'Metzia also, about not this case, but a case where you know it's no duress, you know that you want to sell something at a price higher than it should be sold. What is it that you have to do to tell the buyer in order to be able to do that? Right? You, like we said before, if you bought something for too high, you can't just pass on your loss to the unsuspecting buyer. That was, you know, you made a mistake, you bought something, you know, they cheated you, you can't go cheat the buyers, your buyers, because of that, right? That we learned in the beginning. But suppose that did happen and you want to pass on your loss to the buyer, or you have sudden expenses and, you know, you have loyal customers and you think that they won't mind spending a little bit extra this time because you gave them such a bargain in the past, right? So what do you have to do to allow yourself to sell at that extra price? So the Gemara B'Metzia starts, Rav Amar, Yesh Lo Alav Onah. Rav says, the Tanai does not work. Shmuel Amar, Ein Lo Alav Onah. Shmuel says, the condition does work, and the sale is good, and there's no Onah. So the Gemara wants to say that this Machlokas is the same Machlokas we have between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda about whether you could be Masna Mashakasa V'Torah in a situation of a monetary obligation, right? If someone says to his wife, Haray, to a woman, Haray, amukadeshesli, I want to marry you, on the condition that I don't have to give you those, I'm not obligated in those things that the Torah obligates me in. Haray, amukadeshes, v'tanoa, batadir, Rameir says, the Tanai is meaningless because you can't make a condition against what the Torah says. The Torah says if you marry someone, you have to provide clothes and food and everything to a woman. And you can't say, I'm marrying you without that condition. Rabbi Yehuda says, B'davish ebim mamon t'no kayim. It does work for the share ksus, for the clothes and the food. The condition works because it's a monetary thing, and the woman has a right to be mochel that. So the Gemara wants to say that Rav, who said that the condition doesn't work, must hold like Rav Yehuda, like Rav Meir, and Shmuel, who says the condition does work, holds like Rav Yehuda, who says the condition works by the Kedushin. And the Gemara says, I'm only going to quote the first part of the Gemara, Amalecha Rav could tell you, I know Adam Yafile Rav Yehuda. I can even agree with Rav Yehuda. Normally, if you make a condition about something that's only a monetary issue, the condition works. But Adkan Lukam Rav Yehuda Hasim, Ela Di Yadavikam Machla. Rav Yehuda was only talking over there where the woman knows what she's being mochel. The woman knows that she has a right, min haTorah, to be fed and be clothed, and she is waiving that right, so the condition works. But over here, mi yada de mochel, does he really know that there is onah? He's just saying, I'm selling you this thing, I want to sell you this thing, on the condition that there's no onah. But I don't know for sure, me the buyer, I don't know for sure that there is onah. You're just saying, maybe you're just making a safety net, that in case there is onah, I want you to be mochelet. So in such a case where it's not clear that I really have to be mochelet, I am not mochelet. But the case of the woman where she knows she deserves to be clothed and fed, if she says, I am mochel my clothing and my food, that condition is valid. That mechila is a valid mechila. Right? That's what the Gemara says. And Rav is, according to the Shulchan Aruch, passing like Rav, Moshe Rishon passing like Rav. And the reason being, not because, in other words, the condition does not work with onah, not because it's masna masha kasa of the Torah, you're stipulating against what the Torah said, that's okay, because it's a monetary issue. The reason is because the buyer isn't sure that he has to be mochel anything here. He doesn't know he's being cheated. It's just, you said, if I cheat you, will you be mochel it? So he's not sure he's being cheated. So such a case, that is not a good mechila. Right? That's a halacha l'maisa, that if you say, I'm selling this to you on the condition that there should be no onah claims, it's an invalid condition. The sale goes through and the buyer can still later claim onah because he didn't know what there was to be mochel. So the Gemara then asks a kasha from a braisa. The braisa says b'feirish, if you sell something to your friend on the condition that there's no onah, ain't no olav onah, there's no onah. The Gemara is the kasha on Rav, so the Gemara answers, this is what I have on the handout. The Gemara answers, Rav says, there's low kasha, there's no kasha. Kandistam. When Rav said that you can't make a stipulation that there should be no onah, that's talking about you're selling it stam, you're not telling for sure, it's not clear. And the Brisa is talking kind of in the Faresh. If you explain how much it is that you're explicit what the onah is in that case, and in that case the Tanai does work. And the Brisa gives examples. The seller tells the buyer, this item that I'm selling you, the Masayim, I'm selling it to you for $200. I know that it's only worth $100. And I'm selling it to you, that you shouldn't have no onah claim against me. I know it's worth $200. I'm telling you, you should know it's worth $200. I'm selling it to you for $200, but you should know that it is only worth $100. Right? That's what he said. You should know that it's worth $100, but I'm selling you for $200 for whatever reason I want to. So in that case, the condition works, the Brisa says. The chein lokeach, and the other way around also, a buyer, shamer lemochi, tells the seller, chevesheshani lokeach mimcha b'mana, this thing that I'm buying for you for a mana, for $100, 100 zuz. Yodani b'sheshav ha-masayim, I really know it's worth twice that amount. And I want to buy it, I'm a nas. She'ein lecha alay onah, on the condition that there is no onah, ein lo alav onah, there is no onah in that case either. So that's the conclusion of the Gemara, that if you make a condition stam, I'm selling this to you on the condition that there should be no onah, it doesn't mean anything because the buyer doesn't know what there is to be mochel. He doesn't know for sure that he is being overcharged. But if you tell him, you should know. And this is the halacha l'maaseh. If you want to charge extra for something, you have to tell them like this. You should know that the price is really... You can't just say the price is higher. You have to know that the price is really worth only half of what I'm charging you. But I need to charge you because that's my price right now. If you want it, you can have it without any claims for onah. Right? That's the way it's passed in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch continues. Just to show how much you have to be out front. If you tell them, I'm selling this to you, and I have on the second side of the handout. He says, I'm selling this to you for a mana. I'm selling it for $100, but you should know it's only worth $1. And I'm selling it to on the condition that you don't have any onah claim. So in that case, there is onah. Because everyone knows Right? You don't sell a dollar item for $100, right? Or the same thing if you said it's worth $1,000. So I'll tell you, as if the buyer knows that you're exaggerating, so then if he knows that you're not talking real numbers, so then you can't say that I told you what you should be mochel. Right? The halacha is that the mechila of ono only helps when you know what there is to be mochel. That's what we saw from the Gemara. You have to know what there is to be mochel. But if I say something tricky to you, I say, oh, it's only worth $1, you know, in a way to try to cover myself. That doesn't work because you know it's not worth $1, and I know it's not worth $1, and I don't know what it's worth, me being the buyer. So you're tricking me again. I don't know what to be mochel. Well, if you say it, the person can say, if you say an exaggerated price, it's the other way, it's worth, you know, $5,000, you didn't say anything. You have to have a reasonable idea. It has to be a reasonable, the way Shulchan Aruch says, I'd say a farish, kedei ha'anah sheish v'mecha, you have to say the amount of anah there is, b'vadai, either definitely, or b'karuv, or close, b'fesha das toa, enough that someone can make a mistake. Then he'll know what there is to be mochel. But if you don't make it clear, it's I don't know what to be mochel, the mechila doesn't work. That's based on the original Gemara, that we said that even though normally you could make a condition, a stipulation in a monetary issue, even against the Torah, but if it's something that you don't know what there is to be mochel, so then it doesn't work. So we're saying that means that you not only have to know that there is something to be mochel, you also have to know how much there is to be mochel. If you don't know how much there is, either because he didn't tell you any price, or because he gave you some exaggerated price, which you knew that you just ignore, so then the mechila, there's no special, specific amount to be mochel, and there is no mechila, and the halachos of anah apply. Okay, so that's first part of the shir. Because he doesn't want to. We do this sometimes, you know, because it's not worth the gas to go somewhere else. I don't want to spend the time. You know, it's here right now.
I really want this one.
No. Then it might be different. It's the same thing you get anywhere else, but, you know, and it could be a difference between 20 cents, right? It could be a shavah pruta. You know, it's worth me the 20 cents to. Now, there's another halacha. It's also based on the Gemara of Bava Metzia. The Gemara says that if someone sells, a balabaya sells his clay tashmisho, his household items. If someone sells his household items, so the Gemara says there's no onah on that. Because mani tashmishte, household items, yikiryale, which people hold precious to them, ramazman l'ilad adami yisewe, they don't sell them unless they're going to get a good price. This is Paskin and Shulchan Aruch. Balabayas hamochas klei tashmisho, the balabayas who was selling his household items. V'ina es alokeach, and he cheated the buyer. Ein bo din onah. There's no din of onah on it. She'ilo lo hir belo bedamim, because unless he would get a good price for it, lo ayamochas klei tashmisho, he's not going to sell his favorite sofa, his favorite suit. He's not going to sell these types of things. Ba'biru machum machmas dochek. Even if he's selling it because he's pressed for money, and then you might think, well, he's pressed for money, so then he's going to do it more at the fair market value because he needs the money now. Ein bo onah, there is still no onah. Then he brings a machlokas, whether that applies even if it's more than shtosa, maybe just a shtosa, it's a machlokas. Okay, so this is a good halacha to know, that if you are making a yard sale, you can tell me, you're making a yard sale, you're selling your household items. So, it could be based on this halacha that if you sell it higher than the normal price, there's no onah, because, and why does it work? Rashi says, because it's he's malchalik. Rashi says, it's like I'm explicitly telling you, I know there's onah, and I'm still willing to buy it. Right, and he quotes our Gemara that if you say that there's onah, the sale works. So, over here, if you sell your clothes, you sell your household items, so the assumption is that the buyer knows that he's going to be overpaying for it. I mean, that's halacha, the Shulchan Aruch paskens. So what's the obvious question on that halacha? It's not a yard sale. It's something that you're selling your know, your dining room set. And they get home and say, you said like this isn't worth that much. Right, but what's the, we're saying that there is no on it, because it's like explicit. I'm telling you, I'm right. I mean, that's the obvious kasha. You could say it's like I'm explicit, and that's what Rashi says. I'm explicitly telling you there's ona. But we learned from the first part of this year that that's not enough to say that there's explicitly ona. You have to tell the guy how much he's being mochel. Yeah, he has to know what he's being mochel. You can't just say I'm being mochel something. There has to be a definite amount that of mechila. It can't just be a vague thing, because otherwise I'm not mochel. So over here, what's it help that I'm selling this sofa? You know that it's above market value, but you don't know how much to be mochel. And that's a kasha that my Rit asks on the Shulchan Aruch, on the Gemara. What's the answer? The Nesivos gives an answer. Now I'll read you the words, it's on the handout. He says, near lechalek pshitas, you could be mechalek simply. Normally, in a case where I have a store and I'm selling it to you on the condition that there's I'm going here to buy it based on the value of the item. Rakshis Nabal Manas, I just made a condition on Manas, you have to know what you're being mochel. But Abal Abayas, Lenochas Adaita Shivay Klau. I think what the Nesivos is saying is like this. If you go to a store and buy something, you're buying two things. You're buying one thing, but there's two parts in your purchase. You're buying the item, plus you're making an investment. Well, you're not that it's going to go up in value, but you're buying the item, plus you're purchasing a value, because it's a store, there's value here. And if you want to have ona, you have to tell the person, besides the things worth more than is worth less than what you're paying for, you have to say this value you think you're getting is not worth that much, otherwise there's ona. But if you're buying something from a Baal HaBayis, he's not in the business, he's not selling value, you know that he has attachment to his clay tashmish, and everyone's going to sell them for more. So there you're just buying the item, you're not buying the value of it. I think that's his lashon. You're not going lenochza daitish deshivoy klal. You're not purchasing any value over there. You're purchasing an item. So as long as I tell you, you should know that this item is overpriced, that's good enough. But to say that I have to know exactly how much is overpriced, that's not necessary, because I'm not buying a value, I'm buying an item. Right? If you go to a store, so then the store, you're buying the item plus there's a value to it. And you can't, if you want to be mochel for that value that you're getting cheated, you have to know how much it is exactly. Buy one thing that you're buying from a Baal HaBayis, there you're not buying value, you're buying an item, so you don't need to know how much it is. But that's the halacha. The halacha is, if a Baal HaBayis is selling his or her personal items, so then they have the right to overcharge, because everyone knows you wouldn't sell them unless you would get a good price for them. This is the thing that you're used to. You're used to such a thing. Now, the Pesachei Choshen points out from this that it seems like it's only an issue if I'm selling my clay tashmish, but suppose I'm selling it and I underprice it. So then there should be no heter to say, well, the buyer still gets a sale, even though there was more than a sixth off, or even a sixth off, because it's the whole heter is, if I'm selling it, I have this attachment to it, and I know, and you know, that I want to sell it for more. But he does bring a shita that holds that even if you undersold it, the buyer could say, look, this is a Baal HaBayis selling clay tashmish, the halacha of ona don't apply, and he tries to find some svara for it. Okay, so that's another halacha to know that, and this is where the yard sale could come in, that normally you're right, yard sales are cheaper, but if you do buy something from a private person, and it's not a store, it's clay tashmish, things that he uses, so it might be hard to claim ona there, because the assumption is that people are attached to their items, and they always sell them for more than what they're really worth. Like that seems to be the halacha. Okay, so let's do the next section 3, and then we'll talk about the yard sale. Okay? There's a third halacha. This is based on the Gemara Baba Basra. The Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch says, if test imachar mimnei dochko, if someone is selling something because they're under pressure, they have financial pressures to sell, or time pressures, they're moving out of the country, v'zilzul b'mechiraso, and they sold it, v'zilzul, they underpriced it, yosem mechdesha das tola, more than anyone would make a mistake. So it's clear that the reason they only charge $5 for this $100 item was because they're in a hurry to go. So einu yochel lachzar, he can't change his mind. The yoda umachla, because he knew what he was doing and he was being melcha. This is what you're saying in the beginning, where I'm initiating. I'm not trying to overcharge. I know that I'm undercharging. So there, the fact that I know what I'm doing, so that takes off the ona from the buyer. Right? I know that I'm selling. I know that I'm being mezalzel. I know what I'm doing. Now, there's an issue. The Shulchan Aruch is quoting the Rosh. The Rosh is the one that says it has to be that he's selling it because he's pressured. But other Rishonim say it's not even then. It's not even that. Any time where this price is so ridiculous that you know that he's just trying to get rid of it, it's not that. In other words, you know that it's not a mistake. You know that it's with intention that he puts this price on it. Right? There's no no. No is where he made a mistake. You have to tell him. You should know that this isn't the right price here. You're charging too little. Every other store sells it for more. But if he's so far off, unless, you know, I think if you know it's a mistake, and he forgot a zero one of those machines, so then that's not that he knows that he made a mistake. You have to tell him. Right? But here we're talking, you know, he wrote it in, he knows this is the price. You ask him what's the price, he says it's $5, and everyone knows this thing sells for $100 at the yard sale, say. So then, there's no problem with Onah, because it could be that it has to be Mocha Mivnei Dochko, that seems to be a Machlokas, but at least we see there's this Heter, that if it's Machmas Dochko, and it's such a mistake that no one, such a difference that no one will make a mistake, so then the assumption is that there's Mechila. Right, so I think a yard sale would fit into that. Right, a yard sale, what are they selling it? It's not Dochko, it might not be financial pressure, that means that they need the room, they just want to get rid of this stuff. They want to get rid of it. And the prices are more than someone will make a mistake. $1 a cassette, right? They sell for $10 normally. It's they know what they're doing. So in such a case, there's no onah. Now, if it's something that they might not realize the value of it, right? They're selling their baseball cards, and you know that, and they don't know anything. They don't know that they became collectibles, and you know they did, and you're going around to yard sales to try to get the thing that they don't know about. So then, I don't know if it's Ono, but that might be, Pisri Choshen says, that might be Gnevis Das, it might be something else, and so that's a different story. Because then you don't have this svar to say, oh, they know that they're selling it so cheap, they wouldn't make such a mistake, because they could make such a 100-year-old lady who's selling her, you know, grandfather's baseball cards, and she doesn't have any idea what's going on, what the value is. So you can't go and just go take them from her. That might be Gnevis Das, might be Ono also. I'm not sure. It could be Ono if there's a set price for it. But if it's not a collectible, it's a normal item. It's a ironing board. It's some, you know, normal item that is very underpriced. So then there's no Ono. Then there would be no Ono. And I think that would fit even if that would become a Neidochko. The Nesiv Yosher, this other sefer we've been quoting, says if you go to a liquidation sale, right? So you know they're liquidating, they're going to be paying creditors 10 cents on a dollar. So they're selling everything quick. They need whatever they get. You don't have to feel bad that there's onah here. Oh, you should know that everywhere else they're selling it for $5, and you're getting it for $1. It's a clear thing that this is. They know that they're selling it less than the market price, and that would be another example of this halacha. You don't agree? The market price, there are 30 stores that all sell it for $5 because this guy's going out of business and selling it for a dollar. That does not make a market price. The market price is $5. It might be a range from $4.50 to $5.50 like we spoke, but it's not a dollar. This is 80% off. This is a liquidation sale. That's Mocha Machmas Dochko. I think that's clear. It's not selling. They're in a hurry. to sell. They need to sell it now, and they're willing to be mizal. So more than they would make a mistake. So you know that they're doing it willingly. So you don't need more than that. And here you don't even need the nesudas svara, because here they know what they're doing. They're the ones initiating it, right? This is the difference who's initiating. They're initiating the sale. They say, I know it's worth, to themselves, we know it's worth $5 and we're selling it for $1. They don't have to announce how much the bargain they're giving. They're the ones who's being mochel themselves. It's only if you're cheating the other guy, you have to tell him how much he needs to be mochel. So back to our shayla. The Rishmei She'ela's Shaila. Right, the woman went and she sold her husband's suit for a third of the value. So if the husband had sold it for a third of the value, and then he comes back tomorrow and he says, I want my money back, I see I sold it for a third of the value, what would the halacha be? Yeah, but we said if it's a household article, that means that you could overcharge. That means if he sold it for, 20% over the price, so then the buyer can't come back to him. Right? That was the second section. Right? If you're selling a household item and you overcharge, so then the buyer can't come back to you. But over here, he undercharged, and he wants to say, I want my money back. Especially my wife did it. But suppose he had done it. Right? But that's section three that we said. That if you're selling something more than someone would make a mistake, so then we assume you know what you're doing. As if you sell your suit at a third of its value, so might be has to be menedoch or not, but then we assume that you know what you're doing. You know that you're being mochelit. You know that you're selling it cheap for whatever reason it is, and there's nothing to talk about. Right? So that would be true. The Rishmei She'ela though said what you said in the beginning. But here, the wife is the one that sold it. Since the wife is the one that sold it, so that makes a difference. He says, Krishna Hasim Shemacha Ba'atma, if a person himself sells it, the Vadi Yeshladim Kalachla Vazvez Nechasim, a person has a right to waste his possessions. Walachi Machar Machmas Docha, therefore if he would sell it because he's pressed for money, Amir Bevada Yadal Macha, then we say he certainly was Mochalit. Avim Anidim did not, but in this case where the wife sold it, Asha Halach Bailal and Dinas Hayom, even though her husband's not in town, she might have the right to sell his property at value for him to fulfill his obligations to support her, but who gives her the right to be mochel his price for the nechasim? So that's why he concluded that in that case the husband could come back and cancel the sale and say it's a mekach tos. Okay, so to review, we had three ways that there could be a mechila from a na. The most straightforward way is that a normal case, you have a store and it's a regular store and for some reason you want to overcharge, or you come into a store and you want to buy and for some reason you want to underpay. So if you are out front with the purchaser or the seller and you say, I want to buy it cheaper or I want to sell it more expensive, it's only permitted if you tell the other person how much it is that they have to be mochel. If you're the seller, you have to tell them, you should know that this thing I'm selling for $200 is really only worth $175, and I'm selling it to you on the condition that you don't come back to me tomorrow and say you want your money back. And if you're the buyer, you say, you should know the thing I'm paying $100 for is really worth $125, and I'm only buying it on the condition that you don't come back to me tomorrow and cancel the sale. Because that's the halacha, that if you want the other person to be mochel, you have to let them know clearly, explicitly, how much it is that you want them to be mochel. But then we said that the second section was that if someone is selling their household items, there is an implicit stipulation that when you're selling your household items, everyone knows that people don't sell them lightly. They expect to get more money for them than what the going rate might be. And we said there, you don't even have to tell them. You should know that other used places, they sell this for cheaper and I just want to get more money and tell them how much it is. You don't have to say anything because it's implicit in the sale of me selling my household items that I'm going to charge more. So therefore, this yard sale or whatever classified sale where a person is selling his own items, there he could, and the Nesiva says it's mutter, he could charge more than the going rate would be in other places, more than the used value. that would be okay, because there's an implicit understanding. Once again, if you know, if it's ridiculous, that we said that it could be that it's only allowed to go up to the sixth, more than the sixth, that was a shaila whether you could go that far, right? But at least a little bit of leeway there is. And then the third halacha was that if something is so overpriced or underpriced that everyone knows the score here, they all know that he's either pressed here to sell, or I'm hurrying to Eretz Yisrael and I need to buy this thing, and you have it here, I'll pay you whatever it is, even though it's your last one and you usually don't want to sell it, but I'll pay you twice the price, I need it now. So if it's machmas dachko and there's no reason to think that there's a mistake, so there where the one who was cheated initiated the transaction, right, the one who was cheated initiated the transaction, so there you don't have to explicitly say anything because it's pashit. I'm willing to buy it for this amount, or I'm willing to sell it for such a low amount. It's clear, it's explicit in what I said, that I'm willing to sell you for that amount. And you don't have to go and say, oh, you should know that you're charging it so cheap. But it's such a big mistake. It's clear. So that's why the yard sale, which I think is more common, if something is very cheap at the yard sale, we all know that that's the way they work, because he needs the space, he needs the money, he's going to sell it cheap. But if it's something that there's reason to think he didn't know what he was doing, like the case that's a collectible that he might not have realized, you're an expert and you're going around trying to get these quarters that just went up in value or something that, and they don't know about it, so that could be a problem of Geneva or Onoa, possibly.